Let's go.
Welcome to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast with your hosts, Brady Connors, Frankie Morales, and Daniel Acosta.
Nobody does it better.
God, I'm not going to lie to you.
It's all I hear in my head.
Feels so good to be back.
What up, bro?
I know.
It just you feels were gone good. 1 week, dude.
I know, dude, but I missed you guys.
Shut up, you gay.
Well, I did just get back from the electric dildo.
Dildo
convention. Oh, did you hear my joke, bro? Did you like it?
Dude, that was fucking golden.
You ended up in the medical tent at the electric dildo convention?
I wasn't going to say anything about that, but okay.
Nah, everything was fine, dude.
We'll just leave it at that.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was a good time, man.
Oh, man.
I will say, it was funny you said that, because both producer Dave and I were like, man, I think I saw more male ass on Saturday than chick ass. Like,
that sucks, dude.
I believe it, dude.
It was a great time, though, man. Like, it's just a lot of fun. It's fucking, it's a Disneyland for adults. Like,
yeah. It's an experience.
Yeah. I'd recommend everybody go check it out one time, even if it's not your thing.
I'm working on it, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glad you made it back in one piece, dude.
Barely, dude. Barely.
Yeah. One of these days, I'm just going to pull that hall pass and like, yo, I'm going. But if you ever do Tomorrowland.
Oh, no. That's on the bucket list, dude. So Tomorrowland, 100%. I also want to go to Ultra, although I've heard shitty things about that. But Tomorrowland, 100%, because I would do like a week in Europe up to the event and then like a week after.
Now we're talking.
You know, something fun like that.
Perfect.
You sound like such a douche right now, dude.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I don't give a fuck, dude. Yeah. Do whatever I want.
It's my body. I do what I want. Boys.
Yo.
Around the Cooler, Sweet D, Frank, Brady.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Episode 50.
Episode 50 for some of us. Probably like episode 30 for some of you guys.
Episode 22 for me.
Episode 16 for me.
And Frank's probably at 44.
Yeah. No, I think I've only missed two, actually. I think
that's still good.
Yeah.
It's between me and you, D. I would say probably I have a little more than you, I think.
What do you think the odds were that we were going to make it to 50 amongst the boys?
Pretty high.
Oh, dude. Marcus,
we got jack shit else to do.
Marcus didn't think we were going to make it out of like 10.
I know.
So.
Suck it. Fuck you, Marcus.
Yeah, fuck that
right,
guy.
Dude.
If any of you have been sticking with us since episode one and you've made it this far, hit me up on our social media or just shoot me a text. We're going to hook you up with some stickers.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's maybe throw in some Barron's beers too.
Also,
absolutely,
no.
Come have a beer with us.
Yeah, that would be cool. We're taking special guests, so we're pretty low budget.
We're bringing in guests. We're pretty
so
low budget.
I still gotta paint my nails.
We're
so
extremely low budget, dude.
Beer on us. Come hang out with us.
We can't really give you college credit or much of anything, but we give you a beer.
you a beer,
right, brother,
and a couple good laughs, and maybe a good old slap in the ass.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude. Let's do it. Let's, if people are following, still along for the ride, some stickers, some
beers. Hopefully we've gotten better.
Maybe a night out. I think so, dude.
I think so.
My wife says we have, so I'll take that.
That's good. That's fair, too, because Mary.
She's pretty harsh, dude.
She would tell us that.
She'll tell you straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife? She doesn't even know where to find us.
Yeah.
That's probably a good thing. Anyways, moving on to the news. Not much going on other than Nico Collins has been extended 3 years, $72 million, 52 guaranteed.
It's a big move.
Stroud's, would you call him his top weapon? It's kind of hard.
What'd you say?
Would you call him his top weapon?
100%.
Okay.
I think we'll save it for the analysis that we're going to get into, but they locked up the guy that is unquestionably probably the wide receiver one at a time in which they have their quarterback on a rookie contract, which is important.
So build around the rookie while he's on the rookie contract.
Exactly. So the GM at least knows a little bit of what they're doing.
It's like what the Chargers tried to do.
We tried.
And all those pieces are
failed.
Gone. Rad.
Real quick, dude. I just want to say, because I wanted to bring this up as well, especially since you were talking about our listeners. Extra shout out to the listeners because Sweet D here, you just bought a new ride, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a pretty fancy one, right?
I guess.
So shout out to the listeners. Sweet D just bought a Tesla. So thank you to all the listeners for promoting this podcast, because without that money, D would still be driving his shitty Hyundai, dude. So he's got Tesla, and he's in deep with WNBA betting.
Let's go.
How do you think he
Which
afforded
I'm using
it?
To fund the Tesla.
That's right.
Bet
Let's
the
go.
Under. Buy a Tesla. That's their new slogan.
Yes.
I still can't believe you guys bet on WNBA.
The WNBA, sponsored by Elon Musk.
I love that initial text message, too, we got from Brian. He's like, so are we ready to get really degenerate? And I was like, oh, shit.
And I'm the only one who raised my fucking hand, dude.
I know, man. You're in deep, bro.
I just need to see you guys win, because I know that if I'm on those things, we ain't fucking winning. I just suck at sports gambling.
And I only bet on chicks with dicks, so
So
let's
do
go.
I.
There you go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're riding the lightning right now, dude.
Ride that wave.
That's right, dude. Yeah. Anyways, I digress. Go ahead, brother. Just shout out to the listeners, bro. Without you guys, D would not have the sweet ride he has now.
Appreciate you. All
and our
you.
Sponsorships.
All 20 of you guys.
That's right, baby.
Let's get it to Crack'em.
Well, before we get into Crack'em,
it was my
It
was my turn to bring the beers.
Oh, okay.
And I don't just bring beers like you guys. I try to make it a little fun.
I see three paper bags.
So we have another
We're
three
paper
bags.
We're back to
paper
bag Frank.
Yep. And
the last
this
ones
time,
were good. I feel like this one's not going to be
this
nice.
This one's a little bit of a roulette.
Okay. So they're all different, I'm assuming.
Right.
Okay.
All of them are different. And one of them might be better or worse than the other one.
Okay.
I'm not really going to tell you guys, but we're just going to figure this out. So,
okay,
give me the
I
one,
like it.
Yeah, give me the one with the receipt, dude. You don't get to pick.
Oh, okay.
Perfect, dude.
Oh, so this is strategic?
No, just like, I don't know what they are.
He just peeks into the bag and he's like, okay, I get this one.
Take your pick, baby.
Oh, motherfucker, I was going to go the right one. That's all right.
See what we got here.
Let's open these bad boys, dude.
Oh, baby.
Oh, D's about to die.
Dude. D1, baby.
Have a good night.
D's about to die.
Have
so
a good night.
So am I. Great news. They're all over 9%, so we're all sitting clear.
For our listeners, I did a little roulette here, and I got the original Stone Delicious, and then I got the Stone Delicious Hazy, and then I got the Stone Delicious Double, which actually this worked out. Because Brady loves Hazy, I love the original, and I know you're a fan of double IPAs.
Yeah.
Stop.
Hammer time.
D got the EDC Molly special is what he got.
9.4.
I haven't had that one, dude, but.
In a 19-ounce canner.
Yeah,
oh,
that
baby.
One's going to be good.
Oh, this is good. It's gluten reduced. Okay.
If D somehow goes quiet during the episode, you know why, guys.
Hey, man, at least I came through with
good beers. Me and Frank will
cover. I almost went to the gas station and went two Modelos and a Four Loco. So at one point,
that
probably
that,
will happen.
I know
dude.
It's coming.
Oh,
dude.
Man. I can't
I
wait
know,
for that day.
I know one of these days it's going to be a Colt 45, a King Cobra, and a fucking Bud Ice.
At least
dude.
You'll know in the wrapping because it'll
just
be.
Just tiny stacks of little bottles of whiskey, dude.
Yo, are those three grenades?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
I know we've been talking like off air about like vintage cards. I wonder if there's vintage drinks, dude. Like, what do you think the original Four Loko would go for?
Oh, man. Great question, dude.
Probably nothing, because that thing had a half-life of like 6 months. If you wasn't consumed in 6 months, it was considered deadly.
Exactly.
I think at conception, it was considered deadly, dude.
You're right.
Yeah.
If any of you guys hear a small dinosaur in the background, that's me ralphing after this beer, dude.
But our Crack'em goes out to someone very special and dear to my heart.
A listener.
Maybe.
As a baseball fan.
Maybe
this
now.
Is a baseball Crack'em.
Okay.
One of the worst umpires of all time. One of the most complaining umpires of all time.
I can't think of one worse.
For someone that who was so bad as his, at his job to sit there and wonder why he didn't get the World Series or playoffs.
I think he
and
did
then
get
tried
the
to, and no, he did, but he didn't get it for 10 years.
Okay.
If you guys don't know who I'm talking about, Angel Hernandez finally retired, and we can all breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I think. And didn't he file a
he
defamation suit against
he
the MLB?
Filed a defamation suit, and the court found that they're like, no,
so you just are terrible.
You're just
dude.
Terrible at your job. That's why you don't get these opportunities.
Yeah.
So, this is what this Crack'em's all about, boys.
They swear he wasn't forced out.
Oh my
air quotes,
god!
Air quotes forced out.
Yeah.
If anything, I don't think you can force him out, but I think he was just probably tired of getting criticized for his terrible calls. Like,
yeah.
So which is even funnier, because like instead of just like getting better at your job, you're just like, nah, I'm just gonna quit.
He's got worse.
Yep. In a weird twist of fate, this is the best call he's ever made, brother.
You're right.
Wow, dude.
Wow.
Let's
crack
go.
Him.
Let's
crack
it
right
that,
now.
Dude.
Absolutely.
Cheers to you, Angel.
Well done, sir.
That might be one of the best lines.
Thank you.
That was awesome. On here, that dude. Was well done.
Thank you, brother.
How's that beer, dude?
Mine's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I knew yours would be good because you love hazies.
I love hazies, yeah.
And I love this one. I can feel like my face getting flushed.
He's already hammered.
I knew that one would be dangerous. I mean, it was probably it's better that one than a fucking Four Loko. That thing's like 12%.
Oh, Jesus.
So, nice, dude.
Let's get into it, dude.
Good thing I had a big fat fucking steak for dinner.
Yeah, good thing.
Let's get into it. Let's finish up the AFC. We're talking about the shitty AFC South.
Yep.
And starting with the Texans.
There's one and then everybody else. The Texans. So, real quick. Players they added in free agency. Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon, and then a bunch of defensive guys, which we don't give a fuck about here on this show.
Yep.
Players they lost in free agency. Devin Singletary, which we don't give a fuck about on this show.
I do, bro. Great Bill. Great Bill.
Bro, he was playable last year.
He was playable. He had a couple weeks. But we're going to talk about the guy who replaced him. High hopes.
Damian Pierce.
Players they drafted. Cade Stover. Probably the only relevant offensive player.
The guy
player.
That saved me from the Caleb Williams challenge, baby. Let's go.
I think if anything, I mean, we'll get into it. But so... C.J. Stroud gets drafted after Bryce Young, right? And we're just like, 3 weeks into the season, I think C.J.'s different because he doesn't look like complete dog shit.
Yeah.
So C.J. proved everybody wrong. 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, 5 picks, finished as a QB 11. Division winner won his first playoff game against Joe Flacco. I don't really know much else to say about that, dude. We were so wrong about Bryce Young versus fucking C.J. Stroud. It's incomprehensible.
Well, let's give credit where credit's due, bro. I think me and D were the Bryce hype people, and you hyped up C.J. So,
well, to be fair,
pat yourself a little bit on the back there.
To be fair, I basically was like, small quarterback, terrible situation.
Yeah.
You know?
In hindsight, that was clear as day.
Yeah.
I also think we bought a little bit too much into the draft hype.
Right. Yeah.
Which happens every year, dude. Yeah. Every year it happens.
Yeah, I'm way too invested into this draft class.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's hard to say. I mean, I feel like the first argument would be like, well, what if you switch the situations? You know what? I honestly don't think it matters.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, and frankly, he had the best rookie year out of a quarterback that I can remember since Justin Herbert. Yes. And I want to say Herbert threw for 30 touchdowns his rookie year. But, yeah, Stroud looked – I think it ended up being the perfect pairing.
Right.
Right? That was a good offense for him. It wasn't overly complicated. He looked in command of the offense. It wasn't like he was out there dropping 30 burgers every game.
Right. Right.
You know? But he looked comfortable in the NFL with room to grow. And he was good enough for fantasy football. You know, he was steady. There were weeks that he let you down, but there are weeks that he also won you games.
That's a good segue, because he really came into his own from weeks 9 to 12. QB 1, 9, 4. Peaked with a 41 bomb in fucking week 9. As a field general, boys. There's no rushing there. This was all through his arm. And the more and more that I think about it and look at it, like, he's a little bit of that old quarterback we saw from the golden age. Back that we grew up watching, those like Peyton Manning, those Drew Brees. No, like, but the thing about him is that like he doesn't hyper target any of his receivers. He's going through his progressions and he's going to hit the guy who's open. And so,
yeah, there were weeks where Noah Brown went off.
Right.
Oh my God, don't remind me about that guy.
Yeah, Noah Brown, Nico Collins. I think Nico Collins was he was the most consistent of his weapons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When Tank Dell was there, and he didn't get injured, he was very hot and cold, and then he started to heat up until they decided to let him play fullback on the goal line, and then he broke his leg.
Right. That was really, really stupid.
But when Tank went down, Noah Brown filled that role. Now Noah Brown's starting to eat, right? Nico Collins is always consistent.
Yes.
You know, he didn't have the splash weeks like Tank Dell did, but he had the floor.
Right.
Tank still dropped some single-digit games.
He did. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think if anything, from a fantasy outlook, if we're looking at C.J. Stroud, this might be the candidate that you try to hope falls and that you can get maybe middle of the rounds. Maybe. because he's not going to be he's not going to be a top three. He's not going to probably be a top four. So he might be that quarterback that you try to fade and aim for later. Just an option.
Yeah, I'd say he's got I don't love the ceiling. Like, I don't see him making like a Patrick Mahomes leap where he becomes a top three quarterback just with his arm.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got the floor. He could be a low end starter for you.
Safe.
You know, fill out the rest of your roster and then draft CJ Stroud.
Exactly.
When it comes to him in Dynasty, I don't think you can go chase him. At this point,
yeah, he's locked in with whoever he's with.
Yeah,
it's going to cost multiple firsts.
I'd say at least three, especially in a super flex. Yeah, there's no you can't buy him right now. The only time you could buy him is if he starts off cold, then buy the dip.
Maybe.
If there is a dip.
Maybe.
But
that's tough. He's too young.
And to think Graham moved him for what? Lamar Jackson?
And he overpaid for that to get him.
Yeah.
He CJ was a throw-in, I think.
And I get the move. And as I say it, I'm like, okay, so Graham made the win now move. And it worked for Graham. He made the finals.
Yep.
Right? But now you just look at Ben's team.
Oh,
Jesus. AR-15, CJ Stroud. He has a third quarterback, doesn't he?
I think he drafted. No, he also picked Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, he had a great draft.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. Almost spanked that ass week one.
So let's move from the quarterbacks over to the running backs. Devin Singletary walked to the Giants to grab that bag. Respect, brother.
Yep.
Because you ain't going to do shit there. The Texans traded for Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, I think this preserves Joe Mixon's fantasy value for another year, maybe two, coming over into this system.
Agreed.
Listen to these stats, boys. Mixon had 257 attempts for 134 yards. That's 4 yards a clip, 9 touchdowns on the ground, 52 catches, 376 yards through the air, and 3 touchdowns. So, that finished him at RB6. More importantly, this basically was a resurgence from the year prior. He kind of had a down year, right? The year before, I think he finished 10. And so, this looks like he's going to be able to handle another 3-down role that they're going to expect him to do in Houston. Last year in Cincinnati, when they started to feature him more, that's when he really took off. In the beginning of the season, I think he had one top 15 finish. And then towards the second half, he basically had eight top 15 finishes, RB5 week 11, RB1 week 13, RB6 week 14. Now, Mixon's 27 years old. As we know, that's fucking 100 years in the NFL.
That's pretty wild, dude.
That he's only 27.
Yeah,
dude. He entered the league, I think, at 20.
It seems like he's way older than that, but anyways.
And yeah, so I think we temper our expectations there. But to be fair, Joe has never finished less than RB13 when he hasn't been injured or not for his rookie season.
Yeah, man. I can see a lot of games where the Texans are going to be up and they're going to lean on Joe, and he's just going to get easy pickings, dude.
Mm-hmm. And for all the hype that we're giving CJ Stroud, this is a run first team.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And with a run first coach.
With a run first coach.
Right.
Yep.
You know, with an offensive coordinator that comes from the Shanahan tree.
Yep.
You know, so running the ball is something that they do. I mean, they made Devin Singletary
startable.
You know, exactly. Yeah. And now you're going to give this offense Joe Mixon behind a better offensive line.
Weapons and quarterback.
Push. Yeah. I'd say it's a push. But I like the situation. And now you have Joe Mixon running against the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Colts. He's not going against the number one defense last year,
which was
the Browns. Baltimore twice a year.
The
Steelers twice a year. Like, to me, I think he's got at least one top 10 year left in him.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not afraid
to draft
him.
Yeah, he's got what? Like an easy 6 to 7 games where he'll probably at least put up 10 plus points.
Mm-hmm.
That's
or at
solid.
Least get the opportunities to do so.
Yeah, that's solid, dude. Give me that all day as my RB2.
And D'Amico, of course, he's doing what all coaches do. They talk about the backup. You know, and they talk about Damian Pierce and how he's really loved how he changed his body, blah, 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 blah.
Let's not talk about Damian Pierce.
I need to see it. I need to see it first.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I think you draft Joe. I think Joe Mixon is probably going to get drafted. Like, people are going to sit on him, and I don't think he's going to get drafted at the end of the first, early second like he has been, but he might return that type of value. So, Jeff, just something to keep in mind. I love Joe Mixon. I'm a big fan of the landing spot.
He, for me, is a contender target for Dynasty. If you're in a win-now mode and you need a running back, pay that first. Go get Joe Mixon for a year or two.
Yeah.
Because he could easily give you top 10 numbers.
Yep. Yeah. That's the going rate for a win now player, dude.
Of his age.
Yep.
Because 27 sounds young, but in running back years,
not at that position.
That's 100 years old. Yeah. Not to mention, like, the dude is a volume back.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of miles on those tires.
Yes, he does.
And again, to your point,
and a lot of warrants.
Let's there's go. A reason why they needed to use him so much.
A lot of gunshots. Yeah.
But to your point, D, like, look at the defenses that he faced all his career to still put up those numbers. That's pretty incredible. He's going to a much easier division.
Yeah.
I think things are just going to get easier.
Agreed.
So for all the hype that is the running back room, which is Joe Mixon and a bag of shit over there, we go to a extraordinarily talented wide receiver room.
Probably the best in the league, dude.
I think. Yeah, I would say it's probably the best.
I can't think
league.
Of one off the top of my head that's more talented than this.
This wide receiver room had their moments last year. Let's start with Tank Dell, an early ATC favorite over here. Dear, shout out to you. We called him Mini
Sweet
Reek.
D.
Mini
my
Reek.
Sweet baby boy. Not
specifically
even on my team anymore, but still.
Week 3, 20 points. Week 9, 23. Week 11, 20.9. And then Tank goes down week 13. And then they just go from Tank to Nico Collins right off the rip. From week 9 and beyond, Nico averaged 18.8 points per game and looked like that guy that was your flex league winner, right?
Mm-hmm. Where did Nico get drafted?
Dude, I couldn't even fucking tell you. I think he went undrafted.
Drafted out of? No, he did not. He got drafted out
of
Michigan.
No. Like, we're talking last year in our fantasy drafts.
I drafted him.
Where'd you draft him?
Fucking in the sixth round, dude. My team was absolutely stacked, boys. And I didn't make
the playoffs. Here, tell me again how you didn't make the fucking playoffs.
Jesus
dude.
Christ. Yeah, I got him in the sixth or seventh round. Maybe later.
Damn, I feel like that was later.
Yeah, we'll have to pull it up.
Yeah, and so the team went out there and they fucking rewarded him this year. And this is their guy, right? To stack around their young gunslinging rookie receiver or rookie quarterback. Now, for everything that I am pumped about this receiver room, that we were pumped about this receiver room from last year, enter Stephon Diggs. This could be very easily the best wide receiver room on paper, but for some reason, I don't feel like Stephon Diggs coming over helps anybody from a fantasy perspective. I think, if anything, this makes me sad. Like,
bro, he's literally walking into another Joe Brady situation where he's going to sling the ball around to all his receivers.
Agreed. You said it at the top, dude.
Yeah, he's not going to get the looks that the Stephon Diggs that we know and love. He's not going
to
get those.
For Stephon Diggs to be successful, he needs a quarterback that's going to hyper-target him.
Yeah, I don't know what Stephon's expecting to get, but I promise you it's not
he ain't
what
doing
he's
that here.
As of May,
what he got used
as
to.
Of May 29th, when we're recording this, I'm not drafting Stephon Diggs.
Me either.
Because that name value is going to carry him probably into the third or fourth round, and I'd rather find a receiver or any player for that matter that is the top target on his team, not potentially the third or fourth option.
I agree.
On that offense. CJ Stroud does a great job spreading that ball around.
Yeah. Quick ATC pro tip. If we all say no, go draft him, dude. Stephon Diggs is going to ball out.
Yeah. Factual statement.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
I mean, D, you hit my point on the head, dude, is that like there's no way I'm going to go out there and draft Stephon Diggs knowing the type of player that he is, given the system that's not going to feature him the way that he wants to be featured.
Right.
And then on top of that, how is he going to react when he's not that cog of the system? I think it might be, if it doesn't go his way, it's a recipe for disaster, brothers.
Yep, I agree, dude.
And the hard part is, like, from watching, you probably know better than I do, from watching the Bills, he plays all over the place.
He does.
He lines up in the slot. Mm-hmm. He lines up outside. Tank Dell primarily lined up in the slot.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And that's a good, and he's frankly, he's too small to line up outside.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, does that push Stephon outside exclusively?
Dude. You know?
Ooh, good point.
And on the top, like, who was the third receiver for the Texans? Like,
Was it Noah Brown?
But I never heard of Noah
Robert
Brown.
Woods.
Exactly, dude. Like, we don't even know. The third guy didn't eat in this offense.
Yep.
And Stephon will warrant targets. Like, if anything, this might hurt
Nico Collins.
Nico, I'm thinking Dalton Schultz, you know?
Yeah. To me, dude, it's like, it's obvious Stephon is a great wide receiver. But you know this is a great wide receiver? Nico Collins.
Yep.
Tank Dell.
And this is a great NFL move.
Dalton Schultz.
Schultz is a great pass catcher.
I don't like it for fantasy, dude.
Yep.
I don't either, dude.
And I think the only person I'm confident drafting from this wide receiver room is Nico Collins.
Same.
I agree.
Because I feel like Stephon is going to hurt Tank more.
Yep. And that rapport is built there with Nico over the last year. You know, Tank, like we mentioned, was out. You know, that only improves the chemistry between him and
I've got
and
a
CJ.
Bold prediction this year for Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is going to get drafted the way T. Higgins got drafted last year, and he's going to produce the way T. Higgins produced for you. So at the end of the season, he's probably going to be the highest found player on teams that don't make the playoffs.
Damn. I thought you were going to say 1,800 yards, 12 TDs.
Put it on the board.
90 catches.
And one punch to fucking CJ Stroud in the middle of fucking week 11.
Oh, baby. Let's go.
But yeah, I think the receiver room's a mess.
Do we think Tank continues what he did?
I think Tank has all the ability to do it. It sounds like he's going to be ready, but it's just, again, the Stephon Diggs situation.
Will he get the looks?
Yeah.
And Diggs is a rental. He feels like a rental to
me. And to CJ Stroud's credit, like, if he's open, which he will be because that's what he does, he's going to find him.
Very accurate.
And I think it all comes down, honestly, to CJ's character. Like, who are you as a QB and who are you as a person? Like, to me, CJ Stroud strikes me as a people pleaser, like, just personally. So that makes me want to say he's going to spread that ball around to everybody, dude, right? It's not going to hyper target like Stephon Diggs, like you mentioned, like he was in Buffalo with Josh, dude. So, yeah, man, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in Houston, but I'm definitely not touching Stephon Diggs this year.
And moving on to the tight end room, Dalton Schultz, he was solid again.
He was.
You know, I think there was a little bit of a slow start. You know, he did finish as high as tight end one in week 9. He had 27 points. He was just one of those guys where he wasn't getting a lot of looks, but it was a lot of like 4 catches, 27 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Yep.
He's basically the guy that after the big three.
But, bro, if you're getting that out of your tight end,
that's
all you can ask for, man.
If you don't have those top, the big three.
If I'm getting 4 for 30 and a touchdown here and there out of my tight end position, I'm happy, dude.
Well,
right?
Dude, even Schultz had a TE1 finish.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Yeah. Like, he put up shit numbers by his standard last year and still finished as, like, a top 12 TE.
Yeah, he's top 12.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
So, again, I think he's a very serviceable guy. You know, if you fade your tight end, I'd be like, fuck it.
Yeah. And then for Dynasty, it looks like they drafted his replacement, Cade Stover.
Yes,
so,
they did.
A nice Dynasty stash.
This one, interestingly enough, if anything happens to Dalton Schultz, maybe you go out and spend 5 to 10% of your fantasy.
And let's not forget where Cade Stover went to school.
Ohio State.
That's right.
So
with CJ.
Damn, on one hand, let me say that. I knew it. It just took me a while because I've had half this beer already.
On
you're
one
so
hand,
fucking dumb, dude.
On one hand, like, he's got the rapport, right? On the other hand, name an Ohio State tight end that's ever done anything.
Yeah, zero.
Dude.
Exactly.
Zero.
You guys have said that.
Yep, it's nothing. Jekyll and Hyde. Jekyll and Hyde, bro. Nothing. So
on the left is Iowa. On the right is Ohio State.
Yes, dude, 100%. Great comp.
Moving on to the Jacksonville Duval Jaguars. Players
I can't believe
they
you
added.
Just said that, dude. Duval.
Duval. For all of our listeners in Florida.
That's right. Do we have any listeners in Florida?
I think the map showed one or two.
Cool. Fuck yeah.
That's so
dude.
Sick.
Let's go, baby.
So players they added. Big move, Mac Jones.
Massive move.
Players they lost. Zay Jones, not related. Players they drafted, Brian Thomas, and then Keelan Robinson, a running back in the 6th round. Their depth chart, Trevor Lawrence, T-Law, is the starting quarterback with Mac Jones backing him up, and as well as C.J. Beathard. Running back, Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby, and De'Ernest Johnson. The wide receiver is Christian Kirk, Brian Thomas, Gabe, the Hitman Davis, Parker Washington, and Devin Duvernay. And then tight end Evan Ingram, Luke Farrell, and Brenton Strange. So let's start with who they drafted, Brian Thomas. He had the numbers kind of flashed out of nowhere. He adds to this wide receiver room onto this team. He adds size and speed, something that this offense did not have, right? Trevor Lawrence is not known for throwing the ball downfield. But this gives him a viable downfield threat as well as a jump ball guy in end zone.
You missed one. Calvin Ridley.
No, he's
gone, not
brother.
On the team anymore, dude.
Yeah, they lost him.
Oh yeah. They did lose him.
Free agency.
They did lose him.
Saying.
Yep.
Thought he was like, they signed him, bro.
I'm like, no. So the Jaguars have thrown the fewest amount of fade routes the last few years, and nobody in FBS has scored more in a season than Brian Thomas off of the fade route. That's just one of those moves that we see a lot of teams throw, just a quick snap, throw it up in the end zone. The Jags don't do it. Well, the Jags never had the guy to do it. Christian Kirk is too small. Calvin Ridley is too small.
Yep.
And that's just not how they use Evan Engram. So what they get in Brian Thomas is the guy that can make that play. He also had an FBS leading 17 touchdowns last season. Now, it seems like we're talking him up. He's far from a finished product, right? He needs to work on his route running. He needs to continue to build his route tree. Right now, he's very athletic and a deep ball guy. Kind of sounds a lot and feels a lot like DK Metcalf to me.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that. You know, I feel like a lot of us kind of passed on him in our rookie drafts. He was more of like early second, end of the first round. As far as redraft, I mean, I would feel comfortable with him maybe being my wide receiver 5 on a team. I want to see
you stack 5 receivers, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think like if you know, he's a bench guy. He's a bench guy.
How many receivers are you fucking put on your team, dude?
Dude, bro, he's a bench guy. Yeah, so no, it's like, yeah, it's we all end up with 5. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know.
But right now,
lottery ticket, baby.
He's a lottery ticket guy. He's got the athletic profile and he's got the room to grow. You know, and I think when you compare him to the Adonais and the Keon Colemans and the Xavier Leggetts, right, like, and the Brian Thomas, they all kind of fall into that category of athletic, deep ball guys. And he has one of the highest ceilings, and mainly because he has the numbers.
There was right? a lot of those guys.
Damn, I was just going to say, dude, athletic, deep ball guys, Gabe Davis?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of them in this draft.
Which brings me to the other receiver on this team. Gabe Davis is now on this team. So it almost looks like to me that, and I'm straying a little from fantasy and just talking about the NFL, it almost looks like the Jacksonville front office saw what this offense was lacking.
Yeah.
This offense was lacking big plays coming from their wide receiver room, because the only home runs they were hitting were coming from Travis Etienne.
Yep.
Right? So they went out and got Gabe Davis, who didn't do much last year, but is capable of just being a deep threat. They drafted Brian Thomas, an athletic deep ball guy. So they're trying to give Trevor Lawrence some weapons that can create some splash plays. Trevor Lawrence, he was so-so last year. You know, he finished QB13 overall. He averaged 17.28 points per game, which was good for 17th overall in a 4-touchdown format. That's a drop-off. Last year in 2022, he had a 7th place finish. He saw his touchdowns go down, his interceptions go up. He had fumble issues. He had injury issues all year. It's really tough to say that he's living up to that generational tag. So far, he's been good. He has not been great.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this was the season for Trevor Lawrence to either be like, I'm a fantasy asset to be had for the future, or I'm just going to be another middling
game
Cousins,
manager.
Philip right. Rivers, those types of guys that we just, you know, you draft in the even, later rounds, and that's
I
cool.
I wouldn't even call him that, dude, because like we saw, so he.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't say Kirk Cousins anymore because Kirk Cousins balls out, but
yeah,
like you know, the Derek Carrs, like
you like that.
But we wrote off the Urban Meyer year, right?
Right.
For everybody. And then, so we finally saw him with a real head coach.
He looked good.
And he looked good. Like, okay, no, this is the guy. So what you want to see is you want to see that quarterback build off that success. He did not do that. He went the other way.
Yeah.
You know, like across the board, things just got worse. His touchdowns were down. Like I just said it, right?
Yeah.
So this is, to me, this is kind of a make or break year. Like if he can get his stock back up and crack back into the top 10, like, okay, this kid's got something here. Or this is who he is. He is
an up and down guy.
He's an up and down guy. He is a younger Kirk Cousins, right? Who's just that QB 13, 14. You know,
Kirk Cousins is a baller, brother.
I mean, I don't want to call him Derek Carr.
You like that?
But like I'm just trying to find that court. Jared Goff. But now
Jared Goff's a
baller.
Fucking baller, dude.
But maybe he's a young Jared Goff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like he's not generational. He's the
Ryan Tannehill's of the world?
No,
oh,
not
God.
Even that bad. But
I mean, Ryan Tannehill was like a middling quarterback that'd give you, you know, 17 to 20 points a week.
I think, I mean, Trevor's 20 be
points?
Than that, but
yeah.
Nah, I don't believe it.
I mean, you want to hope he's better than that. But like, essentially, that's what like Ryan Tannehill was.
The weapons have improved. You know, the offense, they focused on building the offensive line.
So what this team has done has gone out and been like, now we're giving you the tools that you didn't have last year. Show us something better. And if you
can, he can throw a deep ball.
Guess what,
dude?
All those balls are still going to Christian Kirk, baby. Let's go.
This is true.
Yep.
This is true. You know, let's skip past the running backs and let's talk about Christian Kirk. So, Christian Kirk, dude,
we shit on all over this show last year.
Despite the addition of Calvin Ridley,
balled out for me.
Christian Kirk was on pace statistically to have a better year than 2022 in 2023, but his season ended in week 13.
Yep.
So prior to his injury, he actually had more catches and more yards than Calvin Ridley at the time. So everyone wrote him off, us included, except for Brady. We wrote him off because of the addition of Calvin Ridley.
Especially after week one.
And he was doing better, and he ended up performing better with Calvin Ridley.
He did.
Now he ended up getting hurt. But once again, he is the focal point, but the number one passing option in this offense. I, again, expect him to have a Golden Tate-style year and end up as a low-end wide receiver one.
Ooh, baby. That's a
high-end wide receiver two. He will finish as a top 15 wide receiver if he stays healthy.
I 100% agree, dude. I think the Golden Tate comparison is absolutely spot on, dude. He's going to be a possession receiver like he was in 2022 if he can still be on the field, dude. God willing, that's the case. But yeah, man, this is clearly T-Law's top option. He has been for the last couple years. And let's not forget, dude, and I hammer this home all the time. Like, just because, you know, players are on the field together doesn't mean they necessarily have chemistry or like each other. T-Law and Christian Kirk are actual boys, dude. They live, chemistry. Like, right next to each other. Literally, houses are right next to each other. They're with each other all the time. That chemistry is there. It's set in stone. If he's on the field, Christian Kirk, I agree, D, is going
to
be
top 15
wide receiver.
You know they get hammered and that guy's
receiver.
Like, you need to throw me the ball more. Yeah, and T-Law's like,
I know, they're always out in Duval County.
He's always like, I know, dude, I suck, man.
It's all like Calvin Ridley. What am I supposed to do, bro?
Bro, I'm seeing ghosts out there, man. Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
He's probably out there.
He's like, dude, I can't fucking read shit out there, man. I just am out there throwing it. Like,
the safeties are always over the top, man. I just gotta trust you.
But yeah, dude, I agree. That's a great breakdown. I definitely think he finishes top 15 as well.
I love it.
If he's on the field.
I love it. I agree. I think we learned our lesson last year with the Calvin Ridley hype. Like, fuck that guy. He's on the Titans now. He's going to die there.
Yep. And Brian Thomas is unproven. Gabe Davis is Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis.
Christian Kirk is the guy there outside of
that's
Travis
who you
Etienne.
Want. Go get yourself. Go get yourself some fucking Gabe Davis.
Nice, dude.
You did finish that beer. So let's talk about, and I'm going to say it, the number one weapon in this offense, and that's going to be Travis Etienne.
The focal point.
Another piece on my team last year that didn't make the playoffs. Let's go.
Travis Etienne finished as RB3 overall. Asterisk. He took a dive after week 9.
Yeah, he did.
So prior to the bye, he had an 80% snap share.
Okay. Sorry not to cut you off, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but this is the type of shit I'm talking about.
Yes.
Do not fucking pay attention to where they finish at the end of the year. That's why I always look at top 15 finishes, top 15, you know, and then break up the season. If you had Travis Etienne, like someone sitting right over here, would you like to say hello, Brady?
Hello.
You didn't make the fucking playoffs because when it mattered the most, he let you down. I don't care where he finished. If you had Travis Etienne on your team, you didn't make the playoffs, bro. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
go ahead, D.
You know what I'm saying?
Can finish.
Yeah.
I have my thoughts about this guy as well.
As well. Let the Travis Etienne owner speak.
Go ahead.
So, yes, so prior to the bye, he saw an 80% snap share.
Nasty, nasty.
He had 8 total touchdowns in 9 games. He's solid in the passing game. That's one of his strengths. He's a pass catcher. On top of that, he is an explosive runner. He is a true home run hitter in this league. He does not get enough credit because he plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This kid is a big play waiting to happen. But after that bye, everything changed, right? He had only one top 10 finish. He saw his snap share drop into the 60s, and he's just started to wear down. He's not a big running back.
Right.
He's honestly not built for that heavy volume 3-down role. He started having nagging injuries. He clearly slowed down near the end of the year. And once again, Coach Peterson has again reiterated in this offseason he wants to cut down Etienne's workload, which ended up being 76% of the running back touches. Now, I am not scared off by the coach coming out and saying that they want to give Tank Bigsby the ball more. Because of what I just said. Etienne is not a volume guy.
He might be a candidate that like tends to even do better with a dual
correct
system,
which is what I was about to get to. He's more efficient,
mm-hmm,
right? He doesn't need the volume. He just, you know, if he could do enough with 15 touches,
he's a home
a
run
game.
Hitter, bro. One snap away.
Right. And then there's a little bit of that like balance of like, well, frankly, Bigsby sucks. He did not, you know, so it's like you have no choice but to get, if you're trying to win games in the NFL, you have to give him the ball.
Right.
But he got worn down.
He did.
You know, and it was literally the tale of two halves. You know, you had a guy that was RB1, RB3, RB5, RB8, RB1, RB3. And then that guy disappeared.
Right.
You know, but with that, so did the Jaguars, because the Jaguars as a whole looked like fucking dog shit. The offensive line fell apart. Trevor fell apart. Etienne fell apart. Christian Kirk got hold. Like, the whole fucking team took a dive.
Yeah.
Now, do I think Etienne's going to come back and be another top five running back? No.
Doubtful. Maybe
doubtful.
Top. For sure, top 12.
I wouldn't even draft him in the first round.
I wouldn't draft him in the first round either, but.
But that's probably where this finish is going to get him, and which follows up what Frank said. You have to look past the number of how they ended at the end of the year. Oh, how did they get there? Right? Joe Mixon a couple years ago finished what?
RB4.
He did that because he scored 60 fucking points in one game.
Yeah, like a hero, dude.
If you remove that 60-point game,
he finished RB9 or 10.
I know he was
that.
Outside of the top 10. Like, he fell that far.
Yeah.
So you also have to look at like points per game.
I'm sorry.
Look at the game.
The 60 point finish was last season, and it because I had him on my team.
I thought it was two seasons ago.
No, it was last. Or oh, it is two seasons ago. You're right.
Yeah,
I've had half this beer.
It's all good. But like when you're looking
Let's
at
go.
So when you're trying to look at these players, mm-hmm, like look at what they did last season and just look at the numbers. All right, like especially Sleeper breaks it down very easily for you. They'll tell you their top 10 finishes. They'll tell you their top 20, top 30 finishes. Like. And you can kind of see that, okay, hold on. Like, this guy did everything in the first half, and he didn't do anything in the second half.
Exactly.
This guy's more consistent. This guy's very hot and cold.
You know what I call that? The CJ Anderson problem, dude.
Oh, nice.
Fuck that guy, dude. Got drafted in the first round. I didn't draft him, but he earned a first-round draft pick, and he fucking tanked a lot of teams because of it.
So I am not saying avoid Travis Etienne.
Nope.
Because Etienne is an electric running back, and unless you're Brady, he will get you to the playoffs.
Yes, he will.
But I'm not drafting him as my first running back on my team
either.
With confidence. I prefer for him to be my second back.
I agree.
Because I feel like that's where he belongs. Because like he's very likely going to finish as an RB1. But I feel like his floor
is low.
Is 11, 12.
No, like his floor on a weekly basis is what you should be concerned about. Like, not where he finishes. Like, he could give you RB1 numbers 1 week. Or on week fucking 13, when you're vying for a fucking playoff, he gives you 5. And that's what you don't want from one of those fucking players that you draft in the first 3 rounds.
You don't want that volatility.
You do not want that volatility.
That's just not how we roll. I mean, if you want to just draft a team
now,
with
again,
Julio Joneses, go for it. But that's just not how we roll. We like Amon
you're
Ross.
Brady. Unless you're Brady. So
hey, man,
now,
I
the floor
him
is
in
yours,
the fourth.
Brady.
I drafted him in the fourth, first of all.
That's a great spot, but that's not going to happen again.
That
his
ain't happening
his
this
ADP
year.
Is going to be too high.
Yeah.
And start of second round.
And that's a mistake. I agree with you guys. I don't think I'm drafting Etienne any higher than, fuck, I don't know what you guys said, to be honest. Like, so I watched, as an Etienne owner last year, I watched obviously a lot of Jags games. Oh. And yes, the first 9 weeks were magical. But let's be honest, the first 9 weeks were a bit fluky, dude. He got in the end zone a lot. He got a lot more pass work than he ever did in his entire life. He found holes that he had never seen before in his fucking life in that offensive line. And then, of course, what happens? D, as mentioned, the offensive line fell apart. And as such, Travis Etienne fell apart, bro. And as such, he just absolutely take a shit, dude.
And like, defenses adjust.
The defenses adjust. Yes, correct. The pass work wasn't there as much. T-Law, I think, was even hurt at some point in the season, like limiting his abilities to throw the ball. I mean, granted, he's only doing dump-off passes, but still, dude, like, you know, you can only throw so much on a fucking 1 foot. But, yeah, dude, Travis Etienne, I mean, he's a good player, dude. Like, don't get me wrong. I will take Travis Etienne as my RB2 any day of the week, but if you're taking a gamble on him as your RB1 this upcoming season, That's not something I want to
risk. I traded for Travis
Etienne.
Well, this brings out a good point. So for all the things that we just said have happened for the Jaguars, because it is the Jaguars, do we think that all of those situations happening at once might be fleaky, that it might not happen again? You know?
No. And very honestly, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what this is just me being honest. I don't know what they did at the draft or in the offseason to improve the line.
They did nothing.
If the line's not improved, then I'm honestly not comfortable taking Travis Etienne as my number one overall RB. Like, it's just not feasible, dude. Like I said, I watched a lot of Jags games last year because of Travis Etienne, dude.
Yeah.
And once that line went to shit, Travis Etienne went to shit.
Which usually happens.
Yeah, which is fair, dude. That's what happens with a run game, dude. If you can't fucking run block, then you don't have a fucking running back, dude.
He's dead, dude.
Yeah. So fucking no wonder that he fell off, man. Yeah. But I will say also, like I said, the first half of the season was fluky, bro. Like, Travis Etienne never had...
I'm not gonna lie to you. It was beautiful.
Travis Etienne never had that many touchdowns. He never had that many rushing yards. It was just a weird kind of thing.
He's
that
like, I've never even seen this in football.
Yeah, it was just a weird kind of thing that just magically fell into place.
See, but the hard part to say he's never done it is like, he only has one prior season of showing us what he can do.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Right. But
so I guess in that year before, he finished RB17, you know, and where he flashed here and there,
he wasn't getting
the workload.
I'll also say this too, dude. Like,
maybe there's a happy medium.
Travis Etienne, to me, works the best when he's able to bounce to the outside. Too many, like, they try to make him a north-south runner way too many times because that's of his home run hurt. Capabilities, right? If there's a hole, yes, he can hit it and fucking go to the distance. But to me, he works best in the flats, right, and bounce to the outside.
Yeah.
That's when he's most explosive. That's when he can create. And they didn't do that enough with him last year, dude. Too many times, they just were like, we're going to make something happen in the trenches. You'll find a hole. Go
and when
make
the
it
line
happen.
Was good,
and
it was
never
working.
Fucking happened, dude.
When the line was working.
In the latter half, though, it never fucking yes, happened, yes. dude. Not
to me,
once.
The happy medium is he finishes as like RB 10 through 12.
I was going
to
say
now,
8 or 9.
Now, how you get there will be very volatile.
Right.
He's going to be top 5 one week when he hits a home run, and he's going to be RB 50 the next week.
That's too big, dude. That's too big.
It's too big
you
of
can't
a swing,
do that.
But that's kind of how he's been, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Too much on the Jaguars. Let's
Way
finish
too
up.
Much on the Jags.
Let's finish up though.
I don't know. I think that was a good conversation though, because Travis Etienne is going to get drafted high. So we got to give
listeners.
These
are make or break players.
Yeah. These are guys are going to fuck
and
you.
And we can't ignore.
Also, remember, go draft Stephon Diggs.
These are guys are going to fuck you.
Yeah.
So, you know who did the fucking? In a good way. Evan Engram. And
yes,
this surprised me because I did not know this till I looked at it today.
Oh, I did.
Evan Engram finished as the tight end 2 overall last season. It only took him 15 years for that comeback season, but here it fucking is, baby.
Fuck that
Somewhere
guy.
Davey boy's smiling big, dude.
Yes, he is. Right there. Producer Dave. You missed
Congrats,
that guy?
Congrats, Davey.
Nope. Now you're stuck with Theo fucking Johnson. Dan Ballinger, SDSU.
Let's go.
So Evan Engram, he actually ended with 114 catches, 143 targets. Quietly became a PPR monster. He doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. He does not make a lot of big plays, but he uses his speed and his athleticism to separate on those short underneath routes. On a points per game basis, he averaged 13.5 points per game. That was good for fourth overall amongst tight ends. He was a steal in the late rounds if you had him on your team.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Marcus had him.
As steady as they come. At the tight end position. And frankly, they did nothing to challenge him. I expect him to do that again.
Why would they?
Yeah, this guy climbed up your boards. I would draft him as a top 5 tight end next year.
Dude, listen to this. Start of the year, TE5, TE6, TE7, 7, 7, 9. Close the year, 10, 12, 1, 26, 3, 9, 1.
But I mean, also, dude, let's
Beautiful.
Not forget the landscape Beautiful. At the tight end position in the NFL, dude. It's fucking dog shit. It's dog shit, dude. Like, it just is. Let's just call it what it is, bro. Yeah. It's absolute dog shit. But, yes, that's not to take away the year that Evan Engram had, because he had, what'd you say, D? 2? Tight end 2 overall?
Granted, these points are, like,
ahead of Kelsey.
Tight end 6, 11 points.
Exactly.
Exactly
my
you
point,
ain't winning. You ain't winning probably that week.
Yeah, no, you're not, dude. No, you're not.
But I see your point. Like, this is another one of those candidates that, like, if you can wait on a tight end because you don't get one of those top 3, this is one that you're looking for.
It's a late round diamond.
Yeah.
I'll take late round diamonds all day.
I mean, he's not a diamond. He's like a like a late round.
I mean, tight end too.
He's like a shiny four leaf clover, dude.
Yeah, dude. Like if you you know when you find a shiny, you know,
like four leaf clover. That's pretty. I'll take a look at it.
Like, wow, never, that's like the third time I found that.
I've never seen a shiny four leaf clover. I've just seen four leaf clovers.
Yeah, dude.
That's more of a matte.
You know
green.
What I mean? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Hell yeah.
The
dude.
Point is, and if Evan Engram. He had, what was his highest TE one? 32 points. So when you find a tight end that has a potential to put up 32, 40, you fucking draft them.
Difference
because
maker.
Even for that 1 week, bro, you know every week they got
that's
the potential.
That's going to win you a week.
Yeah, you're either going to get this guy or you're going to get like Dalton Schultz. So
let's go, baby.
Because at that point, it's basically a crapshoot. You know what I'm saying?
Right. All right. To the Colts.
To the Colts, boys.
And next.
We're gonna slam through these next two teams because they're absolute dog shit.
I can think of two players I should talk about.
Exactly, dude. So let's talk about them. But really quickly, boys, let's get into the players that they added in free agency and or trade. So they added the legend, Joe Cool Flacco, baby. Wacko Flacco, still in the league after his magnificent run in Cleveland last year on the Colts on a, what was it, 1 year deal, 2 year deal?
I don't know, but he's probably going to see playing time.
Probably. We'll talk about that here in a second.
Yeah, he is.
Trey Sermon, I don't know. Frank, do you know where Trey Sermon went to college?
Yep.
Hit me.
North Carolina State.
It is a red school. I'll give you that.
Close.
I'll give you that.
No.
You were kind of close. It's red.
Like Arkansas.
Hey, bro, you got the state right.
Yeah, you got a state.
And not
part,
like
right?
The actual state, just the word state.
South Carolina.
And it's also to the east. Is this a little
East
north?
East Carolina University?
I don't know.
A little north? It rhymes with Ohio.
It rhymes with Ohio.
It rhymes with, I am never going to get any of these.
Yeah,
right.
Dude. Anyways, Trey Sermon back on a 2 year deal in Indianapolis, running back at Ohio State. Michael Pittman, boys, was also a franchise tag. I also read, I don't know if this is true, maybe you guys know, did he get hurt in training camp recently?
Not that I know of.
Michael Pittman?
Yeah, I read that he got hurt. Maybe.
I have to ask this. Do you know where Joe Flacco went, Frank?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was like, come on, dude.
Joe Flacco went to...
Is this just going to be a college questionnaire on the Colts to
Hold
Frank?
On. I know this one.
Come on, brother.
I could do this for almost all of these guys, dude.
I think I could, too. Except for... Oh, no. I know where Gardner went.
What's I went with... Gardner? I know Gardner.
Damn. Yeah. I think the college starts with an M. No, you're Delaware.
Hey, whoa.
Delaware.
I'm fucking chugging this for that,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, yep. Delaware. I remember that.
Good shit, dude. All right, what year? No, I'm just kidding.
What's his major?
Yeah, what's his major?
What's his pants size, baby?
Nice, brother. Good
How
shit.
How tall is he?
Delaware.
Yep.
6'6".
Joe Flacco did go to Delaware.
He is, dude.
Nice Went job, brother.
I'm like, Maine... I knew it was like up there, dude.
Yeah, dude. That was good shit.
Vermont
man.
State.
Yeah. Players they lost, the legendary stash, bro. Gardner Minshew. He is gone. Back in Vegas, dude. I don't want to say back in Vegas, but now in Vegas, dude. With the Las
Living
Vegas
up his
Raiders.
Best life.
Yep. The legendary ATC favorite, Zach Moss, is also departed. He is in Cincinnati, replacing Joe Mixon, I believe, on a 2 year deal. And Isaiah McKenzie, wide receiver, he has also gone away. Adonai Mitchell, Frank, was this your boy that you were talking about?
I drafted him.
I was going to say, I thought you talked about this guy drafting him. They drafted him in the second round, I think 51 or 2 overall. They also drafted Anthony Gold, wide receiver, out of, I think he went to Oregon State, if I'm not mistaken.
Don't look at me, dude.
Pull it up, bro. Pull it up.
Yeah, I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
Davey boy, pull it up too, also if you can, in case Frank can't find it. But I think Anthony Gold went to Oregon State.
He did. You're the
he
man.
He did go to Oregon State? All right, hell yeah, dude. But yeah, man, not a lot going on in the offseason for the Indianapolis Colts. So let's look at the depth chart here. Anthony Richardson, QB1, presumably number one, pending his health. Joe Flacco is behind him. They also have Sam Ellinger. I don't know if you guys remember, but he had a couple cups of coffee in the league last year. Same with, I don't know how... I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, but I know he went to USC.
Keaton Slovis.
Or was he Mississippi, Ole Miss? I think he went to both, actually.
Transferred?
USC, yeah. And
He's
then
a transfer.
Yeah, he went to transfer, yeah, Ole Miss. So that, I think, might be a sneaky play, dude, looking at the QB room here. Yeah. Anyways, let's go to RB. So Jonathan Taylor is back. He's the lone wolf there in that running back room, to be very honest. Trey Sermon, like we mentioned, re-signed. Evan Hull is also there.
Guy. Evan Hull.
Yeah, rookie last year who got hurt, didn't see really any time. And then Tyler Goodson. The wide receiver room, again, not a lot going on here. Michael Pittman back on the tag, as we mentioned. Josh Downs, who had a quietly decent rookie year. We'll talk about him a little bit here in a little bit.
He flashed.
Yeah, he flashed. He had a couple, few good games. Adonai Mitchell, and then my boy Alec Pierce. Womp, womp, womp. I think he's going to get bitten out here. And then tight end room, who fucking cares, dude? Jelani Woods, Kylan Grant, and Malachi Cox. So let's just get into it, boys. Anthony Richardson, a.k.a. Samuel Jackson, a.k.a. Mr. Glass, dude.
a.k.a. AR-15.
Yeah, yeah, a.k.a. AR-15.
Oh, I love that.
So he was only he only played in four games last year, boys, but here's the caveat.
He got hurt.
And this is where you might be interested in it. In two of those games, 50% of his games, he finishes a top five QB. He's still very raw as a passer, as we saw last year and probably will come to know again this year. But his rushing ability and Steichen's fondness for using those QBs near the goal line make him, in my eyes, a potential top five QB if he can stay on the field.
Here's my problem with that.
Hit me.
Four games out for the season.
Yeah, that's
Jalen
a problem.
Jalen Hurts, comparable situation.
Yeah.
That dude was an absolute fucking Iron Man.
Yes, I agree. I'm just saying, dude.
Okay.
I mean, if you saw what we saw last year with Anthony Richardson, like I said, yeah,
it looked good.
Or you didn't see a lot of it, dude, because we didn't. Because he missed about 80% of his games. But I'm just saying, dude, he has sneaky ability to maybe finish, you know, like I said, that rushing ability. And Steichen, like I said, let's not forget the genius of Steichen, dude, and what he can do with QBs.
My concern, though, is
Jalen Hurts, I'm sorry to say this, is not a QB, not a good QB, dude.
That's fine. And neither
And he somehow made him a fantasy-relevant monster, dude.
And neither is Anthony Richardson. And that's fine. My concern, it has nothing to do with that. If anything,
it's his health.
It's the fact that, like, the way that Shane Steichen is going to try to use him is going to get him killed.
You think so?
Well, it's already evident, dude.
I think you're right, but I think they might rein it in a little bit.
So if I understand this correctly, this dude was what, 6'5" or 6'6", chiseled out of absolute rock, was a physical specimen.
Glass, but
and
go
could
ahead.
Not last in the NFL.
Made of ice, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What is Shane Steichen gonna do with that?
So what I think the Colts will do with that is I think the Colts will, you know, I'm getting past fantasy football.
Right.
They're gonna get his body right.
Okay, right. That's what you hope.
This is the NFL. They have the best trainers in the world, the best, you know, sportsmen in the world for all these teams. So you can take a guy built like that, and you could still be made of glass, you know. So at the same time, like, what were his injuries? How do we combat those injuries? You know, you could be the fucking fastest guy on the team, like Xavier Worthy. It doesn't mean you won't pull a hammy.
That's true.
You know, but there's things you can do, you know, to preserve your body. So the wishful thinking is the Colts took the offseason to get his body right.
Yes.
Yep.
So he could withstand the rigors of the NFL.
Okay. A little conditioning.
It's
okay.
It's like the Chargers, dude. Like, they all the fucking talk in the offseason is how they added this guy from Michigan, dude. That's like the world's fucking greatest trainer.
I'll tell you what.
Blah,
spoiler
blah, blah,
alert,
blah, blah.
Half the team will still get hurt by week 4.
Probably. Yeah.
So,
along with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move along here, boys.
So, looking ahead real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
His current ADP is 52.
Okay.
Are you drafting
fucking stupid.
Are you drafting Anthony Richardson in the fifth
round?
Fuck
no. I'm waiting for CJ Stroud in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not waiting. Yeah, I'm not taking him at 52.
That's disgusting.
I'll tell you who I will take at 52. Joe Flacco. Let's talk about it, bro. No, I will not. But, I mean, he's backing up AR, and let's be honest, boys, he's probably going to see some time this season. And honestly, if you need an insurance policy on a QB, he's probably one of the better ones, dude.
Teams.
Yeah, he's probably one of the better ones, dude. Definitely keep an eye on him on the waivers if you are an AR owner, especially in Dynasty. At the running back room, like I mentioned, Jonathan Taylor, he is the go-to. No more Zach Moss. No more Naheem Hines. I know he's been gone for a little bit, but this is essentially JT's room to lose.
He's healthy.
I fully expect a rebound season from JT here, especially to the point that you made, Frank, about AR and trying to keep him upright. I don't see as many goal line carries for AR in the future.
Best weapon on this team.
I think they're going to lean more on JT on these situations, maybe on another guy who I'll get into here in a little bit, also in the running back room. But I think most of those are going to go to JT to keep AR on the field.
This is a volume situation for Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely.
If he can stay healthy, he is a guy that can be a difference maker. He's probably sliding to the second round of your fantasy drafts, and he's going to provide first round value if he could play all 17
first
weeks.
First round value,
16 weeks, whatever.
Top five upside.
Yep. Sounds
he's
like
already
a,
done it.
Yep. Sounds like consensus around here on the ATC. Look for JT to have a big rebound season this
he's
upcoming
young enough.
This upcoming year.
Quick side
and
note.
We all agree. Yeah. So what does that mean?
He's going to be trash.
Don't draft him.
Yeah. Don't draft
quick
him.
Side note. I did see, I have been like just kind of paying attention to the industry. Everybody is saying stay away from Jonathan Taylor because of that, which I find quite interesting. Like, okay.
Fuck him.
I agree to disagree, dude.
Yeah, I read a Fantasy Pros article that said, do not draft Jonathan Taylor.
You know as well as I know, we're going to push the shit out of that if we're right, dude. And everyone else
fuck
is wrong.
Yeah,
so fuck those guys, dude. moving along here, boys. Trey Sermon, we already mentioned him. I mean, he's a fucking nobody, dude. But theoretically, he technically...
He's had a couple games.
He technically has the, I think, number two position right now on the depth chart at the running back position. I honestly don't think...
I'm not buying it.
I'm not either. I'm really not buying
that. It's going to be Evan Hull, bro.
I think it is going to be Evan Hull, and we'll touch on him here next. But Trey Sermon, I mean, he's bounced around the league the last couple years, dude. Yep. He was in San Fran. He went to the Eagles. Like, he just can't – there's just something about – which is weird, man, because, like
– Played for the Argonauts for 6 weeks.
You look
– He's not on your he's not on your redraft team.
He's not on your redraft team. Yeah,
the Argonauts – picked him up on a loan partway through the season.
It's weird, man, because like if you look back, and I know D will probably know this, Trey Sermon was a good back at Ohio State, and he had three down potential at the next level, and he just for whatever reason can't get it together. I don't know if maybe Shanahan, you know, back at his
Niners.
Time at, yeah, I was gonna say at his time at San Fran, Shanahan just you know
he used them as a cog, like you're gonna come in when we tell you, and then that's it.
Yeah, so I mean Trey Sermon's a body for me, and nothing more than that really. But as you guys kind of alluded to, and I think I as well agree with you, I think Evan Hull, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because like I said, he was a rookie last year. He did only play one last year, but his skill set, I think, warrants that of a number two running back, in this room. I think he's the better back than Trey Sermon. I think, he's the pass catcher. I think he runs better between the tackles. I think he's better on short yardage situations, which, like I mentioned with JT, may prove beneficial to him and fantasy players, at least as it relates to TD-dependent running backs. You just never know, dude. If I was a betting man, I bet you Evan Hull would be the RB2 behind JT. So keep your eyes on him if you are a JT owner going into the season. Wide receiver room. Let's get to it really quick, boys. Michael Pittman, that's it, and a bag of chips, dude. So like I said, he came back on the franchise tag, and he's the de facto wide receiver one. Something I looked into last year, in tape I watched, he surprisingly looked pretty good with AR under center.
He was fine.
Yeah, yep. He was good. It looked like he played well with him, like they had good chemistry.
I didn't skip a beat between him and Minshew.
Yeah.
He did not.
I think that plays into the fact that, you know, I don't think coming out of college, dude, a lot of people pegged Michael Pittman as a possession receiver.
No.
But I think that's what he is now. That's who he is. That's who you can expect him to be. And that's who you can expect him to be moving forward if Anthony Richardson can't throw farther than 7 yards, dude.
Well,
so,
he can, just not accurately.
Yes, exactly. So I still like Michael Pittman. I mean, you could do worse at Michael Pittman as your wide receiver too, dude. I like Michael Pittman as a high floor wide receiver too, low ceiling kind of guy. Where are you guys drafting Pittman this year?
I love Michael Pittman. I don't know what his current ADP is, but I am comfortable with him being my second wide receiver with realistic wide receiver one upside.
Okay.
Because that's kind of where he sits. Mm. He sits right there, wide receiver 13, wide receiver 11, wide receiver 12. Like, that's what I'm expecting out of him. And the volume is there.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fact that he did not skip a beat going from a shitty passer in Anthony Richardson
to a capable one.
I mean, it's still, at the end of the day, it's still Gardner Minshew.
He's capable.
Throwing him the ball. But
yeah.
He's white.
But he's the focal point.
Thanks, bro.
Great point, dude.
You know?
He can throw it.
Yeah, he's got it.
I mean, but like, those are two, like, from when it comes from like a quarterback standpoint, those are two no-name quarterbacks.
No, I get it.
And the kid's still able to eat. Yep. You know, he showed us that he is the leader in this passing game.
Yes, he is.
And they will funnel him targets, and he will produce with those targets.
Yeah, I agree. Frank,
you know, so it's thoughts? great for PPR.
Dude,
where are you taking Michael Pittman?
I always am uncomfortable taking Michael Pittman as my wide receiver too, because it just, the whole Anthony Richardson is concerning.
Yeah.
Like it is.
Yeah.
You got to take that into account, but you just hope that he gets enough 15, 16 target games with a 60% completion rate
yeah.
type deal.
I will say this, dude. A fun fact about Michael Pittman, we always talk wow. about here on ATC all the time. The best ability is availability.
And
the last time
plays.
He missed time was in 2020 for 3 games. Other than that, he's played every single game since 2020, which is fucking unheard of, dude.
Yep.
So, yeah, I kind of lean more on the side of D on this. I would be very happy with Michael Pittman as my wide receiver two, with potentially banking on wide receiver one upside.
I just don't I don't think you can bank.
I don't think you can either.
I think wide receiver two is where I'm like banking on.
Yeah. I mean, if you're getting,
and as your second receiver, you're pumped.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, if he's your wide receiver two and you're getting 14, 15 points a game with potential for maybe 20 right. every other game, every few games, I'm good with that, dude.
Right.
So
let's play a little game. Michael Pittman or Chris Olave?
Michael Pittman.
As redraft.
Michael Pittman.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Fuck, I hate Chris Olave.
I love Chris Olave, too.
But I go Chris Olave.
Michael Pittman or Drake London?
Michael Pittman.
Oh, Michael Pittman.
Come on,
that's
brother.
Easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Pittman or Dalton Kincaid?
Michael Pittman.
This year?
Yeah.
Michael Pittman.
Michael Pittman.
Michael Pittman or Brandon Ayuk?
Michael.
Ayuk.
Yeah, Ayuk.
I
say Ayuk. Ayuk's a fucking beast. I think that dude is a fucking time bomb waiting to happen. They need to give him the volume. Ayuk
nah,
every day.
I think. Oh, you said Ayuk?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm going Ayuk still on that one.
Michael Pittman or Nico Collins?
That's
Nico
a good one.
Collins.
That's a good one. I think I'm going Pittman on that one.
Last one, Michael Pittman or Devin Achane?
Interesting.
Achane. He's a fucking snap away from 85, and I love that.
I'm going to go Pittman. He gives me the volume that I'm wanting.
So Michael Pittman's way too early ADP is 24 overall.
Okay.
So a lot of those guys are going in that 2-3 turn.
Okay. Interesting.
So that's what you're going to be staring at.
Well, yeah. So the Brandon Ayuk thing, interesting, because Brandon Ayuk, you hope, is the number one option, but he's not, because it's going to be CMC.
Right.
Michael Pittman's the one there, dude.
Yeah.
Right.
The
right.
question.
Which, but to follow that up, Nico Collins is one of three.
Yeah.
Where Pittman's mm-hmm. the only one there.
Yeah, good point.
But Nico, yeah. Okay.
I don't know, man.
A lot of things for us to mull
like
over
we
before
saw,
draft season.
We, yeah, yeah. we saw what Nico did last
Next
year.
Next week's episode,
without
Colts
Stephon
breakdown
Diggs.
In depth.
Who knew the Colts? Honestly,
yeah,
I mean,
so interesting.
This is a good,
well, no,
I'm
Michael
Frank,
Pittman's
I mean,
a high end. He's going to get drafted
yeah,
high. These are
I'm
this
not,
is good stuff.
I'm not looking at the clock, and maybe it's the Bears here, but like we're. There's a lot to talk about in the AFC South, dude.
Dude, there's just a
I
lot of impact players.
I did not think so.
There's players that you fucking didn't even think should have got more beer.
Yeah. I'll be honest, dude. When I was doing some
I'll
research.
I'll run to the garage. I'll grab some shark bites, dude.
We got shark bites?
We've never done a double crack 'em.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Crack 'em to Michael Pittman, dude.
A double crack 'em to the Titans, everybody.
Oh, my God.
I got a lot to say.
Oh, my God, bro. But, yeah, Michael Pittman, I think we can all agree, is a serviceable wide receiver who you at least would like to target
okay.
in your drafts.
Our eight way too early ADP, that puts him at 52.
24.
24. Fuck no. That's your wide receiver one. Are you comfortable with Michael Pittman
no,
as your
24?
Wide
no, it's not.
That was his ADP. Michael Pittman?
That's round two. That means you take a running back and then
yeah, but let
you know what I'm saying. So I'm just
so
trying to reason for our listeners.
It's way too early.
But let's be honest, dude. There's, you know, so many people, especially the last couple of years, have gone wide receiver heavy.
No, I get it. I guess I'm just trying to reason. Say, for instance, you're the first pick and he's ADP 24, right? You take Christian McCaffrey. Then you come all the way around and you're like, fuck, I want to get a receiver, even though you probably should try to stack something else. Are you comfortable taking fucking Michael Pittman as your wide receiver one?
Yeah, you're right. No, I'm not.
That's my whole argument.
Yeah.
You know, based on that ADP, that's ass.
Yeah, the ADP is definitely a little high, I think, for my liking right now.
And it's May.
You know what we need? We need Anthony Richardson to look like absolute shit in camp so that ADP slides.
Come on, AR. Make it happen, brother.
You got it, bro. We know you got it.
Should we get to the next guys here, guys? I think we spent a lot of time on Michael Pittman. Josh Downs, we kind of touched on a little bit. He had some nice games last year, let's be honest.
He was good.
Yeah.
He flashed,
definitely. He did have a knee injury that held him back.
Out of Tennessee?
From really, where'd you say?
Out of Tennessee?
Nope.
Wrong.
Texas?
Wrong again.
Didn't Josh Downs go to Tennessee?
Wrong again.
Where did he go?
North Carolina.
Thank you,
G. Oh, my God. I fucking really blew it on that one. Sorry,
boys. As soon as he...
What's their name? North Carolina... The North Carolina?
Oh, I don't know.
God damn it. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to buy you NCAA 25, dude.
Thank you, dude.
Nah, dude. This is half the fun.
Yeah, it is.
To be honest, for a while, I started looking it up, and I was like, no,
Josh
I can't
Downs
ruin the
Josh
Downs
was good, dude.
Yes, he was.
He was a solid flex play.
He was.
He was a good slot monster. You never expected a lot out of him, but he had a nice 10-point floor.
He did.
If you needed a good desperation flex play, you could lean on Josh Downs.
He did. I agree. The problem is, though, coming into this year, if you can presumably expect AR to be healthy, JT to be healthy, Michael Pittman to be healthy, there's just not really a scenario where I see that he can make a dent in this offense.
Especially
right?
with the addition of Adonai.
Yeah, Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell. I mean, I don't know
did
about
they draft
that,
his
but,
replacement?
They drafted Alec Pierce's replacement.
Yes, they did. They drafted Alec Pierce's replacement, who we can get into now, Adonai Mitchell. Their second-round pick out of?
Texas.
Attaboy.
That
are
one
you just,
I know.
Are you just reading the notes
no,
that I wrote on here?
Me, dude. That one I know. That one I know.
Okay. Yes, but like D mentioned, he presumably takes the wide receiver three role. Should he beat out Alec Pierce, which I think we're all in agreement here. He's the much more talented wide receiver than Alec Pierce, which as a Alec Pierce dynasty owner makes me very sad boy, bro.
Womp, womp, womp.
But I'm going to be honest, boys. This kid didn't even look like he wanted to go to Indy. Like, did you see him get drafted?
He just looked like he looked pissed off that he fell to the second round.
Yes, I agree. It looked like he got pissed off that he fell and he slid. And
like
to me,
baby.
And honestly, D, like you had touched on it during our Dynasty episodes and breakdown of the rookies. You hit on this, dude. The character issues are a red flag for me, dude.
Agreed.
Like,
you're right.
I mean, I don't want a wide receiver diva, especially at that young of an age, dude. Who thinks they're hot shit coming into the league.
We're going to see more of this, dude.
Yeah, you're
with the NIL money.
Oh, yes, we are. Great point, dude.
And it's going to
fucking
affect,
fuck boys, dude.
It's going to affect the receivers the most.
Dude. Yes, it is, dude, because they're the fucking biggest divas, dude. Because
they're the
divas,
worst,
dude.
And Adonai's the leader of them, dude.
Get on my train, baby.
Yeah, but I mean, let's make no mistake, dude. This kid is talented. He's got prototypical wide receiver size. He's 6'2", 205, ran like a 4.34, I think, at the 40.
Athletic freak.
He knows what he is.
He knows what he is. I mean, he wasn't
the
guy.
And he plays like it.
Yeah, he wasn't the guy at Texas that was, I'm drawing a blank T. Help me out here.
What, Xavier Worthy?
Thank you, Xavier Worthy. But, you know, he acts like he's the guy, which is the problem, dude. If you act like you're the guy coming into your rookie season, especially in a room with Michael Pittman, dude, you're not going to – like
pro. Michael Pittman is going to fuck that guy up.
Yes,
dude.
He is, dude, and I hope he does. And, like, I'm not touching this guy with a 10-foot pole, dude. No fucking way.
In redraft, absolutely not.
Redraft, no way. If
dynasty,
you're a dynasty owner –
great dynasty home run swing.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you nailed him, I think at this point most dynasty drafts are done. If you took a flyer on Adonai, good for you. Let's see if he pans out. My bet, probably not. He'll be out of the league in 3 years. The tight end room, very honestly, guys, irrelevant, bro. I don't have any hard data on this, but I can't think of a team that incorporates a tight end rotation bigger than the Indianapolis Colts, bro. Jelani Woods, Mo Alley Cox, Canyon Grayson.
Every one of those guys had a good one.
Let's combine all their stats.
What's the white guy that was there?
And they're still tight end 32.
Yeah, exactly. What's the white guy that was there like a couple years ago, dude, who we all
Jack
thought was
Doyle?
Jack Doyle, who we all thought was going to be something, ended up being nothing. They don't use their tight ends in Indianapolis. They never have, never will. I can't think of the last great Indianapolis tight end. Maybe when Peyton was playing.
There was one with Peyton, and I can't think of
him. I know. I can't think of his name either, dude. I know who you're thinking of, because I'm thinking of him too, bro.
Yo, who? Frank. Should we grab more beers? I
could grab more beers. Oh, fuck me, dude. Looks like I'm not going to work tomorrow. All right, let's go. So, yeah, man. I don't know what your thoughts are on the tight end position in this team, but for me, like I said, it's irrelevant.
Move along. Yep. Move along.
Moving along, dude. Nothing to see here.
Moving along to our last team, and arguably the most important. The Tennessee Titans. So, who do they add? Added a lot. Tyler Boyd, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Nick Vanette, and I even threw in the coach, Brian Callahan, in here. Because okay. I do believe he's relevant.
Okay.
Players they lost, King Henry. Who do they draft? Jaquan Jackson. He's a slot receiver out of Tulane. Round 6 wide receiver. Not a lock to make the team. He seems like a special teams guy to me.
Right.
So looking at the depth chart, Will Levis is the starting quarterback. They added Mason Rudolph to kind of put a little pressure on the kid.
Is that where he went?
Yes.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that. Okay.
And look at that. Malik Willis is still in the league, dude.
He made it, brother. Let's go.
Nice, man. Good luck, Malik. ATC favorite. Running back room, Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, and Hassan Haskins. The wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, Trevon Burks, Westbrook Akine, and Kyle Phillips. In the tight end room, Chig Okonkwo, Josh Wiley, and Nick Vanette. So let's start with the quarterbacks here. Specifically, Will Mayo Eaton, Banana Peel Lovin', Will Levis, dude.
Shout out Will Levis, baby.
So they added, so let me back up. They got rid of Mike Vrabel.
Yes, they did.
And they added Brian Callahan, who was formerly the offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep. Who, like you mentioned, D, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. But I think there is some weight to that name, to be honest. I agree with you.
Especially because of his daddy.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, Bill Callahan, who is a legendary offensive line coach, who I'll get into in a little bit.
Yep.
So what does this tell me? You have a new coaching staff with a new head coach with a second-round rookie quarterback coming in here. You know, from the previous year, and a bevy of quarterbacks that could have been drafted in this previous draft. They had the 7th overall pick, and they chose to stand put with Will Levis, which tells me Will Levis is being given his chance.
Yeah, he did enough, I think, last year to prove that he maybe has a shot. Dude.
And he's similar to Bryce Young. I feel like him and Bryce Young are going to be a similar path this year. You know, okay. Shitty situations that have now potentially drastically improved.
Yeah.
So Callahan brings in a traditional passing offense, and they added a bevy of veteran wide receiver weapons. Oh my God.
Thanks, brother. I mean, and let's be honest, dude. If you're a QB on the Titans,
this is the 9% talking, Frank.
If you're a QB on the Titans, you're always on a shitty situation, dude. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, this is real.
Yeah. I mean, so this, good luck, Will.
This might be the best Titan wide receiver core that we've seen since.
Agreed. It's been a long time.
Ever. So, Will Levis, right? He actually had the 3rd most air yards among quarterbacks in 2023. And who was he fucking throwing to? Name a receiver on that team that was not named DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, what's that fucking guy that you guys like?
Exactly, dude. He was thrown to a bag of dicks.
Trey Burks.
Close enough. But the kid was not afraid to air it out. His rookie campaign was very up and down. He had multiple eye-popping games.
Yeah.
His debut, I instantly was like eating my words, dude. That first game that he played, 4 touchdowns, 0 mm-hmm. picks. He was just
3 of them to D-Hop.
Airing the ball out to D-Hop, and he was just hitting deep ball after deep ball. I was like, oh, fuck. Is this guy fucking something?
I'm not going to lie to you. They look good, dude.
He looked
He's
really
good.
He's
got a cannon,
good.
And he throws a nice ball.
He followed that up with a whole bunch of fucking nothing, and then he flashed again when they had some crazy comeback against the Dolphins where he just fucking went full Tom Brady mode and just fucking slinging it all over the field.
Full fuckboy, dude.
Yep. Didn't give a fuck, dude. A little extra mayo in his coffee that week. He's a gunslinger. He's got that gunslinger mentality. but it was clear to me that his processing and his decision-making are still a notch slow. Two things that we fucking hit him on.
Yeah.
Coming out. And you know what? That's expected as a rookie. But there's enough confidence in him that the coaching staff, the new coaching staff, decided to build around him. And who do they give him?
Fred Durst in the building.
Let's go. They gave him some wide receiver weapons. So they added Calvin Ridley. They added Tyler Boyd. And they already have DeAndre Hopkins. So touching on DeAndre Hopkins a little bit. D-Hop, as we like to call him. He still showed that he has some something left in the tank.
He still looked good, dude. He still looked like D-Hop.
Let's crack him.
We're cracking him for a second crack him. This
are we doing
be,
a double crack
first crack him of all time. This is going to...
Hey, it's only fitting on episode 50, boys.
Will Levis, baby.
Episode
this 50, is to you,
double
boy.
Crack him. You know, and we're probably going to the bar next door after this.
Oh,
yeah, we are.
Jesus. Did you see how many shark bites that guy had down in the
fridge? I know,
fridge?
Dude. I love it, dude.
If I'm in Carlsbad, I have to stock up.
No, I love every second of that. But to your point, man, this team obviously sees something in Will Levis because they're surrounding him with weapons that they're just not like, we're gonna be
next Josh Allen. Shut the fuck up.
We're not gonna preserve. We're not gonna do what they've always done, which is the power run game, bro. I think the Titans come in this year and we see a very, very different offense.
Is that because of Callahan?
Will no, Levis? Because they think that they have a fucking quarterback that can throw the ball further than 20 yards.
Will Levis?
Touche.
He might be that quarterback that makes the jump, dude.
Dude.
Out of that rookie class, I think he's more likely to make the jump than Bryce Young.
If you just look at the circumstances around him, they have a strong head coach. They got strong leadership. The GM, they're all hard asses, bro. Like, this isn't a place for anyone to fuck around.
The Titans are not historically a shit team.
Exactly. And now they got this fuck boy, and they're like, you're either going to fucking fall in line or you're out of here right after this. So this is your make or break year. We're surrounding you with tools. Show up.
Yeah. Either you ball out or we're going to draft Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, God.
And then that fool's going to tell you you're a bitch every day.
But moving on to his weapons. So D-Hop, wide receiver 22 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Will Levis. Zero fucks given. He just throws that ball as far as he can. Says, go get it, D-Hop. D-Hop actually led the league with targets over 20 yards.
He still looks like D-Hop.
A little bit. I mean, still a step back. There wasn't a lot of underneath game.
I guess
kind of a big play guy.
Athletic perspective, he still got it.
Frank, can you please give the listeners a honest assessment that you have always loved D-Hop, so you're going to have a bias towards D-Hop?
I have always loved D-Hop.
Thank you. All right. Shut the fuck up.
But he's always looked good.
I mean,
except for
I
the
guess.
One year that you drafted him and I didn't.
I guess, dude.
So get fucked.
Oh, get fucked.
Fred
fuck
Durst.
You, stupid bitch.
So, I mean, he still took a step back compared to his normal years. He was a wide receiver too, a low-end wide receiver too. You know, the situation improved with the new passing game, as well as the running mate, Calvin Ridley. Overall, I expect all of these pass catchers to eat a little bit. Last season, the Titans were 31st in play volume.
To eat shit, dude. They got Will Levis throwing them the ball, bro.
Hell yeah. Eat nothing. Yeah. They were 30th in pass attempts. Ridley had an up and down year, his first year back from his suspension. He finished as wide receiver 18 overall. He had 8 touchdowns. But honestly, if you watched any of those games, similar to Travis Etienne, he was very inconsistent. He left a shit ton of points on the field with some bad drops.
Really bad drops.
And just some weird fucking concentration issues, dude. He had six top 12 wide receiver finishes.
Concentration issues.
On the flip side, he had eight
gambling.
Finishes.
Sounds like you're not getting laid, brother.
No, it sounds like you're fucking gambling on this game, dude.
Nice. I see where you're going with that now.
Yeah.
So Calvin Ridley had 6 top 12 wide receiver finishes. On the flip side, he had 8 finishes outside of the top 40. The other 3 were 28 or worse. You know. Now, silver lining here. Coach Callahan has come out and mentioned Calvin Ridley. He said he plans to use him as the Jamar Chase of this offense, which means he's going to be moving him around. Is Calvin Ridley Jamar Chase? Fuck no, he's
no way.
Not Jamar Chase. Now, what I like about that is that tells me he's most likely going to be the first look for Will Levis. and they're going to move him around. They're going to put him in. They think he is the cog that they can manipulate to win matchups over the defense.
The volume guy.
Now, am I going out and drafting Calvin Ridley ahead of Ja'Marr Chase?
Put it on the board, bro. Drink some more of that shark bite and put it on the fucking board.
We have no board, dude. What are we going to put it on?
Listen, I know. We always say, put it on the board.
I'll draft Calvin Ridley ahead of Ja'Marr Chase if you take Kyren in the top five. Okay. Like you said you were going to.
Hold on. Real quick, boys. I think, realistically, honestly, next episode, do we turn this wall right here into a post-it board, dude?
Okay.
And we just put shit on the board. Yeah. All right. Because we always talk about it, but we never do it, dude.
Or a whiteboard or something.
Yeah.
But you know what? Between Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, I feel like Calvin's gonna get more of the look. Honestly, you know, just from a strictly even though Will Levis has the chemistry with D-Hop, I feel like just the way the offense is gonna be schemed, if Callahan is putting his money where his mouth is,
yeah,
like Calvin's most likely gonna be the first look in this offense.
I get that.
The passing offense,
right.
Again, dude.
And then they have Tyler Boyd, who Callahan is from. Sorry, not to cut you off.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
And I imagine Tyler Boyd will fill that role that he played with Cincinnati.
I was really hoping Tyler Boyd would end up somewhere where he would get an opportunity to be a one, because I think that he kind of flashed it in Cincinnati. Yeah. And it was a shame when I saw him go to Tennessee. I'm like, good, you're just going to be that fucking guy for the rest of your life.
He was the byproduct of shit situation more than any wide receiver I've ever seen, dude. Because like I said, I agree with you, bro. I think Tyler Boyd has wide receiver one potential.
Yeah.
But he was buried behind Ja'Marr. He was buried behind T. Higgins, dude. When he gets the opportunities to shine, he does, dude. He fucking puts up.
So he's like, I'm going to go get that bag in Tennessee and not give up.
Where they never throw the ball, dude.
Bro, Alex Moraning
respect,
it.
Respect, bro.
Alex Moraning it.
Yeah, totally, respect, dude. Man. But, dude, to your point that we were trying to make about the Ridley D-Hop situation, I think... I'm sorry. I'm gonna sound like beating like a dead horse here, but like there's something to be said about QB wide receiver relationship, especially if that QB is young and that wide receiver is young. D-Hop is a little bit on the older side. He's an elder statesman. Calvin Ridley is a young go hard. Will Levis is a young go hard, dude.
28.
He's like 28.
But you know, but I mean, you guys know what I mean, dude. Yeah. Like still, I think there's just like chemistry to be had between. There's more in common to be found between Will Levis and Calvin Ridley than there is between D-Hop.
They are more likely to go out to a strip club together than D-Hop and Will Levis.
100%, dude. Exactly. And if you're going to go to a strip club with me, I'm throwing you the ball 12-plus times the next game.
Well, maybe you go with D-Hop.
Tomorrow morning is what I'm saying.
Maybe you go with D-Hop because he knows more.
If you're going with me to a strip club at Saturday 4 a.m., I'm throwing you at Sunday 10 a.m.
Facts.
Yeah.
Both. Because 12-plus targets, we're hungover,
dude.
Bro.
Yeah.
Any of our listeners in Tennessee, tell us how the Nashville strip clubs are.
Yeah, let us know.
There you go.
Went to a strip club named Beef. You know what I'm talking about, bro? Oh, my God. I love that bit between Tom Segura.
I'm going to say, I mean, like, Levis isn't a redraft target.
No, he's definitely not, dude.
Between Hopkins and Ridley, they're probably middle rounds.
But
Hopkins,
as a dynasty owner.
But as a dynasty owner,
I'd be kind of pumped.
Bro, go
throw a third rounder.
See what you can get for Will Levis.
See if you can fuck around and make somebody do something stupid.
I got a question for you guys. In redraft, would you rather take D-Hop in the 7th or Ridley in the 5th?
D-Hop in the 7th every day of the week.
Like that.
I just prefer the value later.
I feel like I could find better in the 5th.
Because if you take Calvin Ridley in the 5th, you're really betting on something to happen, dude.
Betting our team to be magic, dude.
Calvin Ridley in the 5th is very likely your second best wide receiver.
And
you're fucking praying
Will Levis is going to go ham.
Yes, absolutely.
No,
dude.
I want more stability.
Yeah, I take D-Hop in the 7th.
Is this easy a scene out of Shorzy right here, dude? What's going on?
Yeah,
100%, dude. Edmonton won.
Good for them.
Look at that. There's Sam Carrick, Brady. With the fucking
holding a plunger.
That's me holding the plunger. Let's go, boys.
Sam Carrick, Anaheim Ducks darling.
Oh, that's right, dude.
Fucking
it
throwing
is.
Shade to Corey Perry. Fucking Hall of Famer there.
Corey.
For our listeners, we're watching the NHL post game. Of the playoffs of
that's
the
a circle back to
Stars.
Fantasy, dude.
And that's why I'm pulling for the Oilers, dude, because they just got a bunch of
ducks
on their team.
Yeah, they're Ducks
North. A bunch of Ducks that said, hey, we want to win.
Yeah, they're Ducks North.
Yeah.
Okay, getting back, let's talk about this running back room.
We haven't talked about the running back
room? No, we have not. It's unclear how the Titans are going to divvy up this backfield.
Fuck, this pissed me off when they signed Tony Pollard.
I honestly do not know who's going to get the first snap.
It's going to be Tony Pollard because it's, you know,
because of the money.
He's an elder statesman and he's getting paid.
My dynasty team looks so good up until they signed Tony Pollard.
This was just like, what the
And Jaisley.
Was baffling, dude. Tajay Spears looked so good last year.
He looked so good. So Tajay Spears, he actually saw over 50% of the snap share.
He did.
And in shout that out running to you, back D. room. Shout out to you. Yeah. You called Tajay Spears up, dude.
You called it.
So props to you, brother.
But he only saw 35% of the opportunity share with Derrick Henry. And yeah, dude, he flashed some three down potential.
He looked the part, right?
He did. He showed some chops in the passing game. He actually brought in over 50 fucking catches out of the running
back. That's really nice.
Really fucking nice. To the point where it buoyed him to 9 points per game in a PPR, which does not sound like a lot.
That's a flex start
a week, dude. That's a desperation flex start.
Yep.
You know, for
that's a Marcus Hubble
for
flex start.
For an RB2 running back, for a backup
and
running
if you
back.
Don't know Marcus Hubble, fuck, dude. Good luck.
That guy will flex anything, dude.
Yes, I was a Tajay Spears champion. And I think overall, we were hyped this offseason prior to the Tony Pollard signing for the Tajay Spears breakout.
Yes, yep. We were.
Because when you look at the underlying metrics, 4.58 yards per touch. That was fifth best in the league. 26% evaded tackle rate. That was fourth best in the league. Tajay Spears' ADP currently is 111. So you're getting him in the later rounds. Compared to his counterpart, Tony Pollard, who's ADP 81.
Who's never had a full workload, by the way.
Until this last season. This might be the most valuable fantasy handcuff
yes.
in this upcoming season.
Yeah, possibly, dude. Possibly.
Tony Pollard, right? So his ADP is 81. He finally got his chance to be the lead back with the Cowboys, and he fucking shit the bed.
He fumbled the bag.
What did I tell you guys last year about Tony Pollard? He was a candidate to not produce what he did because of the fact that he can't be trusted.
And he wasn't on any of our teams, back. Dude.
Yep, and nobody drafted him.
So his
I traded him to Victor, and he won the championship. Let's go.
So his fuck me. RB 20, he had an RB 23 finish on the year, but his expected finish was supposed to be RB 11. And he was 44th in yards per touch. Like I just said, his running mate, Tajay Spears, was fifth. Okay, now he's on a second contract. On a worse team, you rarely touch running backs on a second contract unless they're fucking special. Tony Pollard is not. I'm staying the fuck away from this.
I'd get that tattooed on my forearm, so if I ever got Alzheimer's and wanted to play fantasy, all I knew was don't draft a running back on their second contract.
This kid is way past that was the a gray line window, bro. Dude. God, you know what? Who would have thought the AFC South episode would be one of our best, dude?
I don't know. That was good.
Oh, that was a good line, dude. Hell yeah, brother.
You know what?
Anyways, continue,
put your money where your mouth is,
you're
dude.
The man, dude. You're the
do
man.
Do it, bro.
You're the fuck.
Get a
dude.
Tony Pollard tat. Let's do it.
No, I would just get that line tattooed. Never draft a running back on their second contract.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant, like, never draft Tony Pollard.
Well, that
damn
too.
It.
But
you know what? Both would be sick, dude.
Yeah, both would be super rad.
Hey, shout out to Dedicated Tattoo Jason Medina. I know you're listening. Fucking, they're right down the street, bro. Right next
God,
to Killarney's,
so
dude.
Funny.
Let's hit some fucking Jameson.
I'm
Let's
down.
Hit some car bombs and get that tattoo.
I need to go get one for my boy.
Paint
dude.
Your fucking nails and everything.
It's all the same
let's,
plaza.
Let's do it, boy.
Dude, it's all
oh,
right there.
Jesus.
It's
let's do it.
It's literally, we parked the car in the same parking lot. We can hit fucking Bob's, Killarney's, and Dedicated.
This
all
is our
the
best
same night.
Episode.
Oh,
and probably smoke some fucking hookah afterwards, dude.
Throw it back old school, call up Slim, hit
this
up Kenny.
This is our best episode.
XPC's in that same lot, too, bro.
Oh,
let's play
God.
Some World of Warcraft already.
Let's play some Counter-Strike, dude. Let's get it.
Flying Kenny from Silver Lake, wherever the fuck he's from.
South Lake.
God
I'm
going
to try
him.
And go see Kenny, dude. I'm going to hit him
I would
up
love
on
to
out
see
there.
Kenny, bro. I love
dude,
you, brother.
I always text Kenny. He
I love
always
you.
Responds, too.
I love you, brother, if you're listening, dude. I miss you, man.
He's not.
I know. But maybe he is.
Maybe
one
Brittany
day.
Is. Who knows?
I love Brittany, too, dude. Brittany's the shit.
Yeah. So
she's
crazy.
Rad. I love her. She's a good chick.
Do we have anything else to say about this shitty running back room, or can we go to the bar?
I mean, I will just say this, dude. If you have Tony Pollard in your dynasty league, you're fucked. You're holding the bag. You're holding the bag. You can't get rid of that guy.
You can.
You can.
What do you think you could get for if you're
a
Tony
second.
Pollard?
A second. I ain't giving you more than a second for Tony
so
Pollard.
So you value Tony Pollard less than Ramondre Stevenson?
For Tony Pollard, bro? You should probably give the other guy a hand job, dude. That's what you should get. Yeah.
To get rid of him.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. I'll give you $10 and an HJ. You don't have to look at me. No. And then the owner counters by saying, you have to look at me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, dude, absolutely. 100%, bro.
Oh, God. So good.
I mean, that's all I mean, Chig, fuck him.
Yeah.
Dude, Chig.
They don't. I mean, I can't get excited about Chig, dude, because the Bengals don't target their tight ends either. So it's not part of the new offensive scheme.
No, they never have.
And trust me, bro, I think Chig was one of my breakouts. I definitely hyped him up in one of our episodes. And he fucking
I think a lot of people like
me, dude. I couldn't walk for weeks after
bro,
Chig.
Every time I saw him catch a pass, I was like, let's go, it's coming, baby.
I think a lot of people like that guy, bro, including all of us here, dude. Like you mentioned, D, I think we all talked him up at least like a year or two ago, dude. We thought he was gonna be like this like next best tight end prospect, bro, and unfortunately he's with the Titans, dude, so not gonna happen, brother.
But yeah. That's the AFC South, ladies and gentlemen.
This was a fucking great episode. How long?
Damn, we are going to be so fucking heavy on the AFC South. None of us are going to make the playoffs this year, dude.
No. I mean, I think the AFC South surprisingly represents some very... Tony Pollard.
I was going to say, quick. Let's do a quick roundtable. Quick roundtable really quick. One player we're drafting at AFC South, no matter what. Frank, go.
Fuck. I don't even... understand the question.
One player you're drafting, no matter what. Your go-to draft player out of the AFC South.
CJ Stroud.
Okay.
Christian Kirk.
I'm also going CJ Stroud. All right.
Okay.
Cool. I think that wraps it up, right? We got nothing less?
Yeah.
Or nothing left on the AFC South?
Are we going to the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, for one beer, dude.
Okay.
D, one beer?
I'm also
one
hungry, beer. Dude. One I beer. Need to get some food.
I got to get some food, too.
Yeah, I'm starving. Marvin, all brother. Right.
Damn, this was fun, boys. Glad to be back. Miss you guys.
Good shit.
Good to be back. Frank, I'm glad you're back from the dildo convention.
Getting rowdy on a school night. How about that?
Oh, my God. I'm definitely calling in tomorrow. So, or at least the first half of the day.
This might be day 1 of 3 for me.
Dude, episode 50, boys. Let's get
AFC
it.
South Part 2 bang, next
dude.
Week?
With a bang.
With a fucking bang,
AFC South 2 Electric Boogaloo, baby. Let's go.